Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
And as you know, Josh, I invest in other real estate things,
yes,
and I invest in other syndications and things, but not too many allow doing what you're doing, which is, you know, forming a tribe. And those people listening won't understand just the word tribe by itself, but basically you're forming a group of investors whose money doesn't touch each other, but you're all investing together to get a higher preferred rate. You know, so your money is worth more when you can get friends together as a tribe and you invest together. So it's like a win-win.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
Zip, don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella's story out of nowhere.
It's in the home.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Welcome back to the big show. Amit, it is so great to have you here, Mr. Gaglani.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to see you and always a pleasure to see the community.
Yeah, so Amit, of course you were on episode 183, where you and I dove into your time in the medical professional world and moving then to the private investing world. But for those of us who haven't yet had a chance to download episode 183 of Capital Hacking, would you mind sharing a brief backstory on you, and then we'll get into the meat and potatoes?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, my name is Amit Gaglani. I live in northern New Jersey. I started off with a physical therapy practice and my family supported me. I have three lovely children and a wife that has, you know, started going back to work and now is challenging herself to grow more as well. So it's wonderful seeing all this growth around us. I started a physical therapy practice about 17, 18 years ago, grew it literally by myself and the support of my family as well. But literally, I had just had no employees except myself. Grew it over all those years and then started getting some notice from some private equity companies. So I decided to go down that road and said, okay, well, let me see what that looks like. Because I saw the writing on the wall that in order for me to 10X something, I really needed to grow significantly. And I was one of the first partners that joined this company called Alliance Physical Therapy Partners. And we grew it. And that's considered the first bite of the apple when you sell to a private equity, which is an interesting term, but that's how it goes. And then you basically, you work inside there and you grow it further until you become attractive to another private equity. And that happened just recently. So I've been completely bought out and I'm out of that field. But all along that process, I was investing, but I was very busy, you know, like I'm sure a lot of you guys who are listening are very busy in your professions and just don't have time to look into real estate, alternative assets and things like that. And just, you want to make more money passively, but you know, how do you get to do that? Fortunately, I started digging in and started looking at different investments and started doing that. So I kind of felt like that was my launch pad, but I was getting deeper and deeper into it. And then, as you know, when I exited, I was looking for opportunities and, you know, just kind of figuring out what do I want to do? And luckily, you and I had crossed paths and said, Amit, you know what? Why don't you join us? You've been investing in us at Accountable Equity for all these years and bringing other people on. And you obviously love what we do. We love you. So let's get it going.
Yeah, baby. We do. And that's a great segue, brother. So big announcement. This gentleman you're listening to with the incredible radio voice, Amit Gaglani, is the new director of growth for Accountable Equity. He and Scott Catan and Michael have all helped us grow this company tremendously over the years. And we are so happy you're leading growth with us, buddy. Thank you. And welcome aboard.
For those of you guys listening, all the people that Josh just mentioned are fellow investors. We've all looked at what Josh was creating and said, you know what, we want to be a part of this years ago. So now we're taking the opportunity to actually jump in and help them grow. So if you think about it, you have investors that are invested in the growth and have their own capital in there. And we want to see everything succeed and we're scrutinizing and we're making sure because we're heavily invested in this.
Yeah.
We want everything to succeed. And our hearts and our minds are in it.
But you know, there's so much we're going to get into today. So, all right, folks, I know you're like, wait a second, we're hitting meat and potatoes so quick. Mr. Amit, he's such a pro. I love this guy. So a backstory here, Accountable Equity is the group that Melanie and I and so many wonderful people created over the years. It's grown a lot. I mean, Amit, I imagine you joined us 200 investors ago as one of our pioneering first 100 investors. It's well over 300 now. Communities of learning together. And it's exciting. So because of all that growth, I was at a conference with DLP, you and I know them, a year ago. And they're like, well, how many people are helping you take care of the investors, take care of the projects, take care of the strategic planning? I said, well, it's really us and a few people. Scott was there. And since that time, we've been judiciously attracting great people like you. And it's a dawn of a new day at Accountable Equity. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be amongst, you know, great people.
Yeah. And we have a few questions we want to go through and use this as like a, everybody step back, sit back in your Tesla, as we joke, and let's open the looking glass. Let's walk through the looking glass for a moment and talk a little bit about what has captured my heart, Melanie's heart, now Amit's heart. And that is this idea of being a part of an investor community. Now, you and I call it, we call ours that we work on is accountable equity. And hopefully at some point during the show, we get to define that. You know, there's two meanings to accountable equity. We'll get to that. But I think it's going to come out if I ask you a generic question. So I'm about to ask you, I hope you're on the hot seat now, Amit. So Amit, you have so many good friends that are private investors. You have been an active private passive investor, which is a funny term, right? You've been actively buying passive investments for years. You have many of them now. It's not just with accountable equity. Why do you think people like yourself and maybe other colleagues and friends are even joining private investing funds like accountable equity?
There's definitely multiple reasons. Amongst the biggest reasons, I think, are what we see in the stock market, not just what we see now, but what we saw before. It is a roller coaster. You know, it goes up, it goes down. And the psychology is very interesting. When it's up, nobody wants to sell because guess what? It's doing great. When it's down, nobody wants to sell because it's doing horrible. So you're stuck on this roller coaster. You don't want to sell when it's high. You don't want to sell when it's low. And you're just riding along. And the truth is, you don't know where that roller coaster is going to be, up or down, when you actually need the funds. When you need that money, you don't know where it's going to be. You hope where it's going to be, but it's sometimes, as history has showed us, it's not where you want it to be. So that roller coaster is one reason. The other reason is I like investing in something that, like what's behind you, Renault. There's a community. You feel good when you go there. You see the activity. You feel like you're part of something bigger. Your money is directly affecting a community of people. It's really there and you feel like good about it, right? And on top of that, you're earning passive income. You know, not passive income that's in dividends that stays inside the stock market, but passive income that actually gets into your bank account that you can actually use and feel and do something with on a daily basis. So my philosophy was, and others too, how to increase your passive investment portfolio to start taking over your active investments so you can live the lifestyle that you want to at the pace that you want to. Yeah, those are amongst like the biggest reasons why I was investing in passive incomes.
You know, at first it sounds like those are great reasons, but then if you think about it, they're like rich answers to the question. They're really rich. So roller coaster, meaning not knowing where I love the point that you said, when the stock market's up, why would you sell? Meaning you can't emotionally cut the line because you're like, well, I'm going to go up another 10%. So why not stay in? And then when it's down 20%, like right this minute or more, you're like, I can't sell them down 20%. So you're like stuck either way. It feels very awkward. And the second thing that really caught my heart was being part of something. And that's the real universe of real assets. And that's bigger than us, right? That's a lot of our friends do multifamily. We do a lot of resort properties. We're about to get into diversified portfolios, but they're real things. I mean, technically they have addresses. You can drive up and see them. And then the third thing about cash flow. People don't realize that. You taught me something on this show that I've never used that expression. When someone says I get dividend payments, a lot of times it's called reinvested dividends, right? And it's actually, you push it right back into the stock or someone other stock. So you don't actually get a check in the mail sometimes. Here, you actually get automatic cash, what do you call it? ACHs, right into your bank account.
Into your bank account where you see it and you feel it and you're like, wow, I can use this money right now.
Yeah. And one more backstory on this gentleman. You give speeches a lot. You're a great public speaker. And one time I heard you giving a talk about what it takes for you to make a decision. And I remember meeting you as a person who reached out I think you learned of me on a podcast and you wanted to come drive down and visit. I did not realize you secret shopped our properties. You came to see if we actually do good work. And I thought that spoke volumes about you. And that's the difference between real world investing and stock market investing too.
Yeah. And just to give a quick narrative about that. So before I knew about Renault and or the investments that Josh was doing, I listened to him on a podcast and I was very interested in what he was putting together. So I did exactly that. I went down. I didn't tell anybody I was a potential investor. I wanted to see what he has put together. And I found stuff that I would never have thought to even occur. And what I found was a culture that he developed there. Now, for those of you that have been either in a company, have been in HR or owned a company, the culture that is in a company is of vital, vital importance. It sets the tone of every day. I was walking in and people are opening the door saying, welcome home. And I'm like, they don't even know who I am. Why are they saying that? Like, I didn't understand. I was just so overwhelmed by that. And then it was more people saying that and they didn't know I was an investor. And they were treating me this way. And I actually asked a couple of them, how do you like it here? You know, what's this? And everybody just loved it. So I'm like, wow, this is a wedding. This is a place where weddings are going to take place. This is where people's like future and their hearts, their minds, their souls are going to be created. They're going to look back at these pictures and have that impression that I was treated like home, that's where it was. So I was like, this is something special. That's what I walked away with.
Yeah. And you know, this is a little bit self-serving, but it's just such an honor to hear that, buddy. So just let me time out. Yeah, I'm putting the timeout signal here on my hands because I know you can't see that when you're driving, but thank you so much for doing the secret shopping. Thank you so much for recognizing that culture is the core business value that we all need to double check.
The people.
And you know what? Anyone listening, there is definitely no lollipops and gumdrops. I mean, it doesn't always go great here, you know, and yes, we lose a good person here and there. They get offered more money and they have to go because their family, you know, they decide it hurts. You know, you want to build a great culture and you want to make sure everyone has a home. You're not going to hit 100% every day, but thank God we're well above the average. We're moving as a team in the right direction. And I credit so much of the success to the team. So thank you, everybody from Kevin and even Keith out there. He never listens. Keith doesn't listen. Sheila and all these great new people that you got to meet them in. So anyway, back to the business of accountable equity. The show, we named the show here, three things. We said, why don't we talk about accountable equity on the show? We're here to celebrate Amit. We're here to let you know how good the people are that join the operating companies that we build. But I want to just give you a quick definition, Amit. And I wondered what you thought the name meant. So you were secret shopping me. You're coming down to see what does the asset class of resorts and wedding venues look like from an operator's point of view. But what did you think we meant when we called it accountable equity?
Well, at first I really didn't understand, to be very honest with you.
Good.
I just thought it was a neat name and I liked the logo and I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. But I wanted to get into the meat potatoes. But the more I realized, I was like, well, they are being very accountable with somebody's money. They're, you know, when you see the pro formas, when you see the projections, when you see what you're putting together, they're like, you know, they take it to heart that they're taking other people's money. It's not just numbers. They're taking it to heart that this is other people's money. And we have to be very judicious and very careful on how we spend other people's money.
Yep. And you know, when our buddy Bob Wells, you and I love him. He always says, what does accountable mean? He says, it means that you have the ability to be counted on or that we hold you able. He says, that's how he has a fancy, I think it's a Tony Robbins definition of accountable, but we hold you able. Like we're going to keep track of what we said we're going to do because we believe you're able to do it. So anyway, but the point is you're right. We always thought it meant up front. We thought Melanie and I wrote the name out. We said, here's the deal. Let's put our mission in our name and show people we get it. It's your hard-earned equity. We know it's our job now to be accountable for you. We're working to make your money make money. And then the second thing that really Bob helped me realize, hope you're listening, Bob. We miss you, buddy. Hi, Usha. He said, the other thing that's cool and the reason Bob continues to be a partner and invest in everything is I love the community is being challenged and encouraged to change the way they think of their own equity, right? Like Learn and Grow, the things you and I run now, our community where we bring keynote speakers in to teach you how to be more accountable with all of your assets, your family, your long-term gift giving, use your taxes right, you know, make sure you pay the minimum you have to legally pay. So we want you to be accountable with your equity and learn more.
that's what's great about what you guys do too. It's not, you're not just putting it into an investment. You are actually educating people and teaching them what does not just accountable equity mean, but what are passive investments? What are things when they come to these learning grows that you hold down there, literally they get to learn things that they've never learned before about just investing in general. So it's not just, hey, put your money in here, you're going to get a good return. It's much more than that.
Yeah.
It's a community. You get to see it, you get to feel it, and then you get to learn from it.
I'm sorry. We're really so geeking out here, folks, just because you guys haven't met a guy as good as Amit before. I mean, he's, first of all, when you and I are all in the same room, everybody wants to talk to Amit. He's the best communicator. He's a great listener, but he's also so thoughtful and puts himself in the shoes of the other people. So I can't wait till you get to meet him. But before we go all the way down all those rabbit holes, there's something else you said at the beginning, and I want to give you a lot of credit. Of all the people I know, I think it's only a handful of people that have been able to sell and exit a company successfully. And you've done it twice, but you taught us this whole new expression that I want you to teach our audience, because, you know, a lot of people listen to have companies. You said it's the second and first bite of the apple, the first, and then comes the second. Teach us that cool expression just in case we're business owners and we're listening.
So when somebody buys you out, the intelligent people buying you out, they set it up in a structure where they still want to keep the original owner engaged. So they call it the first bite of the apple, where they take and they buy over a certain percentage of your company and they give you a dollar figure and you get paid right then, but you still own the other portion of that. So you're still engaged because you want to see that company grow. So the first bite of the apple is the first check that you get, but it's not for 100% of the company. It's for a portion of the company. So now you're engaged, you're helping them grow the entity. And when you grow it to a sufficient size where it becomes attractive again to somebody else, and then they buy the rest of your equity out, that's the second bite of the apple.
Would you mind teaching me for a minute? Because, you know, you and I are always talking about the new deals we've been offered. Some of them come with companies inside the real estate. So let's use $100 for a minute. So they come to you and they say, your business is worth $100 million, $100. How much of the 100% of units or the $100 do they give you at first bite typically?
Well, there's typical, and then there's what you can negotiate, and depending on how attractive you are. But I've seen some that are 50-50. I've seen some that are 70-30. I've seen some that are 20-80. It okay. also depends on the person. Like, I'm relatively young, so I'm not looking for a large amount at the first bite because I want to help build the company and get the larger portion second time. Somebody who might be older might say, well, I want as much as I can get right now. So it really depends on what your needs and wants and desires are too.
I got it. So they might have given you $20 off of 100. They might have given you $50 off of the 100. Now, the second question here, because we do buy businesses, obviously, when they come in and say, we'll give you 20-80, we'll give you 20% of what we owe you now because we think you're worth $100 million.
Other way around, 80. Most of the time, they want to take majority.
So they are taking voting control.
Yes, they want to take voting control because they're rolling up many, many companies across whatever state or whatever country. So they can't have everybody, you know, voting differently. They
Understood. Need
to have majority control, and then they hire a C-suite to run everything.
Okay. So it is always over 50%+
usually,
of voting control. And they give you that cash up front and then you're waiting for the rest, but you have to work. Like, you don't get to go home and sit on your couch usually.
You can, if you want to, you can have 100% exit, but you're going to get a fraction of the value of the full value of your company.
Okay.
Because they know that this company was built by blood, sweat, and tears from the owner. So they don't want them just walking away.
Okay.
So you're going to get the highest value if you're willing to stay around and willing to help them grow it further.
Do they give you a salary for those few years?
Yeah, they'll give you a salary.
And do you have, say you kept 50%, would you have gotten 50% of the profitability, or would that have been kept in the company?
I've seen different private equity companies do it differently with different physical therapy companies. It's really each to their own, like how their private equity model is working. Yeah. They want you to benefit from the upside of the sale, but sometimes they break it up into common shares as opposed to partner shares. And they have all these equations.
Well, that's where it gets complicated. Now, how did this is a very cool, because those of us listening, we hope that many of you get to have wonderful double exits like this, but what happens for advisory? Like, who did you hire? Did you hire some fancy lawyer to teach you all this and to negotiate on your behalf? Or did you just know how to do this?
I don't think I knew how to do anything, but I had to learn. I honestly learned, but actually talked to a bunch of different companies to find out how do they evaluate companies? What is their formula? And I looked at a bunch of them and I said, okay, well, this is how they evaluate companies. So for the next year or two, I'm going to sit there knowing what their formula is and build my company to the highest level I possibly can, to the highest margins I could. And that's what I did. So I built it up to the highest margins I could. So it made the company look as attractive as possible. And then I said, okay, well, now what is the best deal that I can negotiate?
Yeah. Wow. Trying to learn, always learning.
You could either decide to join a very large company in which you're a very small fish in a big pond, or you can join a company that's starting out and you're a big fish in a small pond. So it really depends on what you want, you know?
Then when you get the final exit, like you said, it's two different private equities. It's like private equity that does the roll up, and then it's private equity that does the consumption of bigger businesses. I get it. I love it. I love it. So one other thing you've taught me over the years, and I want to give you a lot of credit, you and Jim Pfeiffer and of course, Scott Bindis have all taught me, and I've tried to be attuned to this, is to pay attention to serving other communities. Meaning you brought in a lot of interest from friends right away. Friends started coming with you to the Learn and Grows. And I started realizing, let's treat Amit as if he's a leader of a community. And later that became tribes, right? You actually would bring great people to our Learning Grows. And they were usually from like a sphere of influence. In that case, you were in the medical community.
Right.
Other people are sometimes in the real estate investing industry and they want to diversify. So a whole bunch of real estate investors will come. And then other times it's doctors. It's, you know, we have a lot of other professions. Now we have a lot of CPAs joining us, which is pretty cool. Teach us a little bit about how that kind of naturally happens and what you like about what we're doing at Accountable Equity for Communities.
So naturally, any giving person wants to share good things with other friends, right? Because those other friends are possibly looking for the same thing that you are. So when I found what I found with Accountable Equity, and I was willing to invest my own money, I wanted to share with other people. So I would tell them, this is what it is. You got to come down. You got to see this. And a lot of people, you know, would love to do it. And then to Accountable Equity's compliment, you guys took that to heart and you said, well, why don't you form tribes? And you guys now offer something that I haven't really seen in too many other places. And as you know, Josh, I invest in other real estate things. Yes. And I invest in other syndications and things, but not too many allow doing what you're doing, which is, you know, forming a tribe. And those people listening won't understand just the word tribe by itself, but basically you're forming a group of investors whose money doesn't touch each other, but you're all investing together to get a higher preferred rate. You know, so your money is worth more when you can get friends together as a tribe and you invest together. So it's like a win-win. It's a win for Accountable because it's
easier to raise bigger trunks. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but you're forming a community.
Yeah.
Your whole ethos is about forming a community. And now you got all these little, all these people who are forming little communities to help benefit. And they're all part of the whole bigger equation. So
it's a big honor, isn't it? And that's why I needed you, brother. We need you to help me because you and I and some others have really brainstormed this and now it's growing exponentially. And I want you to take over growth. And that's why we gave you the fancy title, Growth. And you know what I love about you? And this is just a geek out story. So Amit's like, okay, I'm going to help you grow. And I want to introduce you to other vendors that can help your other operating companies grow. And I want to, the word growth is you.
Right.
You are built for growth.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I see so much potential in everything that Accountable Equity is doing. And just it, we are touching so many people's lives in so many different ways. It's just, it's so nice.
It is
it's
so nice.
Just so nice.
So, I mean, if you want to be part of that love fest, just come to a Learning Grow. You know, and I want to share something else that's unique about what you have taught me to do is I've always believed by attracting partners like yourself, bringing you on to the team as a part of growth, we know that it's better to have an ocean that has boats floating together. Like a lot of boats can float at the same time. It's not a zero-sum game. I learned this from real estate guys too. They always used to talk about the growth mindset and abundance mindset. So our thought is, why not introduce our audience? Capital Hacking always has great other syndicators on here. Why not bring other types of real estate investors into the fold and have them introduce what they do to our community? And I love that. You know, this year, we will have keynotes from my dear friend now. I love this gentleman. You and I were at DLP the other night and we didn't run into him, but Whitney Sewell, the guy who does LifeBridge Capital, owns the real estate syndication show. He will be the keynote at our next Learn and Grow. And then we have other famous people, including Richard Wilson from the Family Office, coming to be a keynote. Yeah. And I know you and he have become fast friends. That was fun. You and I went to the Family Office Club the other day.
Newport, California. Yeah, it was great. It was great to see that, just even from an understanding of what, you know, with the DLP, with the Family Office Club, just seeing how thought leaders are looking at the recession and things like that.
We should hit recession for a moment. I mean, I think, are you of the same mindset that we have a recession beginning?
Yeah, okay. I think so. I mean, it's almost unquestionable that is going to occur. But listening to the different thought leaders, I found it very interesting to see their viewpoints that, hey, look, this is coming. You can't really close your eyes to it. You do know it's coming, but people will always have value for valuable assets.
Yeah.
That will never go away.
And you have to make pivots, though. We have this little acronym. Feel free to steal this, folks, if you have a company. We were sitting here the other day doing an analysis of our revenues, and our revenues are continuing to increase, but so is inflation. So how do you fight that? And I said, well, wait a second, fight. We came up with an acronym, FIST, a fist. We need a fist to fight back this crappy inflation, right? So we came up with fighting inflation strategically together. So all of us are going to roundtable every week. What can we do to fight back inflation? Where can we save on labor? Where can we save on product cost? How can we continue to sell a little more? How about, what do you call, upsell? You know, that's one of our fastest ways to create profitability in the world of hospitality. We can upsell you to the next level because you already gave us some of your money. Right? This is a lot of businesses. If you're in any business, upselling is probably one of the best solutions for fighting inflation, because inflation's real, but that guest, that client already wants something from you and believes you have value to offer. And you do, whoever you are. You might be a physical therapist, but in our case, hospitality. So we'll sell you an additional component that you want. And now it's a straighter line to profitability. So fist, fight inflation strategically together, baby, because there's really, you can't go about this passively, right?
Yes, no, absolutely. I noticed that when you guys created the outdoor market space in Renault, and I walked around, and I'm not a guy who's like usually attracted to things. I look and observe and I look, but I was there and I was like, you know, I think I want to get a sweatshirt. I'm not even a guy who usually wants to get a sweatshirt. Before I knew it, I'm walking out with like 5 sweatshirts and things like that. And I'm like, I really like this stuff. And I got to say, they were super
soft.
Aren't
they great?
I know. They're so soft.
They're so good. We're not shooting for the highest margin on quality stuff there. You got to get some margin. But when someone's willing to, a famous guy like you walking around with our logos on it, I mean, that's the best, right? No, anyway. Well, Amit, I think people understand why you're the new leader of growth for us and why you and I will be all over the country this year. And we're going to head into the recession with eyes wide open. We're going to call really cool strategies. We'll announce those later as you and I are designing new funds with the team. And we're going to enter into some new asset classes slowly but surely and be able to pivot right into the value. Because the biggest thing is you and I have created an extremely large investor community. You know, it's not 5 people anymore. It's hundreds and hundreds. And we're, none of us are here to make 100% on our money. We're here to judiciously keep value and grow value. And that's what I think our whole mantra has always been.
Yeah. And a stable routine income coming in has significant value for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know? And getting it into operating some type of operating businesses that have real estate value, it at least can weather the fight. I mean, it's a fight out there. And I've had conversations with my friend who has a company. I'm like, man, you got to really take owning a business seriously. I mean, it's a battle. You know, the winds of the world don't necessarily blow always behind your back, right?
This is correct.
You got to put the juice down. You got to have huddles. You have to have a legitimate culture that creates pivots. And I'm really grateful that you saw that in us. And hey, what else can we expect from you, buddy? Where are you traveling to next if you have that scheduled? Or what else can we do to follow up with you, Amit?
Well, I'm definitely going to go to another DLP event in Asheville. Michael Treffel and I are going to be going down there to learn even more, to see what we can do and how to implement all these different strategies to help out our investor community and constantly bring value to them. Beyond that, I don't think I have anything else scheduled trip-wise, but I always look forward to other opportunities to meet with thought leaders and to learn as much as I possibly can and to apply that, you know, to the benefit.
Yeah, by the way, you are good at that. You are great at assimilating knowledge and coming up with great strategies. And you do have email and phone number if you want to give it out in case anybody wants to reach out to you directly. I know you're going to give out a phone number that we can text.
Yes, I will give out my email and my phone number as well. The email is agaglani, so it's agaglani at accountableequity.com.
And we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much for being here.
And let me give my cell phone as well, or the phone as well. 215-259-8659.
I'll put that in the notes.
Yep, that's 215-259-8659.
We appreciate you, buddy.
And thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Wow. Wow, you made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media. But by the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary Vee, he's my boy.
But Gary Vee also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life, and thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week, and we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to, and we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility.